Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio number 443. This is Kevin DeFrango, back with us, Chris Calamita. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, Kevin. How about yourself?
Other than some technical issues, wiping out another New Ohio Wrestling interview. Hopefully, a new downloaded Skype will solve all of the ills of, or at least some of them, for Pete's sakes. It does look quite slick, so hopefully the show runs smoothly.
Well, hopefully the show runs smoothly on my end, too, since I have not done the new Skype download. I don't have time for such things.
Yeah, well, it really, I was set to record, a solid hour and a half ago, and it could not get its shit together for that long of a time, so it really screwed me over pretty nicely, so I didn't really have much of a choice in the download matter. And I'm not quite sure. Didn't really have any problems last week. I don't know when the update hit exactly. But anywho, enough about technical issues. Do you think there is a real issue between Booker T and Corey Graves? Or do you think it is a work issue between Corey Graves and Booker T?
You know, that's a good question. I mean, how much of SmackDown were you able to see tonight while you were dealing with technical issues trying to do an interview?
I caught pretty much all of it.
Okay. So you saw the New Day make two jokes at Corey Graves' expense about his fighting prowess.
Yes.
So, yeah. Obviously, on the WWE end of things, they're treating it like a joke.
Right.
Whether Booker T is really that angry, I don't know. I mean, all right, let's keep some people up to speed. I'm not.
Well, and that was one thing that I had kind of forgotten about, is that when Booker T initially came on, it was as a replacement for David Otunga, who, at least I felt like at the time, was destined to come back. And he's never come back.
Yeah, no, he absolutely never. he never came back. You're absolutely right about that. And you know, Booker T stayed on for, gosh, it feels like close to a year.
I would have to think that it's been in that vicinity. Like, whether it's 9 months or, you know, 14 or something.
Remember, like, who was the Raw announced team for WrestleMania last year? I believe it wasn't Cole Graves and Booker T.
I think so.
I
want to say that it was around this time of the year, actually, that Otunga took off, like January, yeah. February, something like that.
Yeah, and he never came back. He filmed a movie and then got the, you know, his legal issues with his wife and his soon-to-be ex-wife and child custody. And then Booker T was always brought on to be temporary. And then he stayed for a year, and then somewhere along the way now, the deal has been made to bring Jonathan Coachman back, who has been unemployed since being let go by, rather quietly let go by ESPN last summer when they were letting a number of on-air and off-air talents go.
Oh, see, I guess I thought he was one of the more recent, because they've had a couple of rounds of cuts. For some reason, I thought that he was in the second wave and not the not the first one.
I might be wrong. I mean, I know he was on the, you know, ESPN News, really, you know, low on the dial digital cable channel a lot more than he was. He'd been on big ESPN for quite a while. I know he'd had his opportunities to, you know, anchor SportsCenter on the main channel, but, you know, early in his run, but it felt like he'd fallen out of favor for a while at ESPN, for the amount I pay attention.
Yeah, I have no idea what he did over there since I only watch actual games on that network for the most part. Booker T had been so all over the place with his commentary. Like, I guess it just seemed like a smart move to bring Coachman in and have him replace Booker, because it was such a disaster at times.
It really was. Booker T really, so many times, lost his train of thought, just went off on, you know, rambling tirades, forgot which side he was supposed to, the argument he was supposed to be arguing with Corey Graves and Michael Cole. He was just really bad, and it's a shame, because I do feel like there should be a voice on the announce crew who has been there and done that as a top level performer in the business. I do believe in that, and obviously we don't have that on SmackDown since JBL left, although obviously JBL had his own issues, you know, with, and I'm not just talking about the Marvin Hall stuff, I'm talking about just in general, just being overbearing and just, you know,
oh,
being a shell of his former self on the commentary, you know, just to put it bluntly. But Booker, it just,
yeah, at least, and you mentioned it, like, JBL had a consistent viewpoint. There were certainly some times where you may have thought that he had been drinking a few too many Beltane beers before the taping of the show. But, you know, there was never anything that made me question his worldview. Like, it was just like, oh, okay, I got it.
Yeah.
Thumbs up.
But yeah, no, I mean, for all the talk of how overproduced the announcers are in WWE, I never got the sense of Booker T being overproduced. It either or Booker T just wasn't taking instruction well or what have you, because it's just, he was just so just completely out in space at times. It was really noticeable, and yet what was also noticeable is, yes, the arguments with Booker T and Corey Graves did seem to get heated at times.
Yeah, and it was one of those things that I never really thought about it, because most of the times it was Graves pretty much pointing out the craziness of his argument. You know, so I guess I never really thought about it. And then when it came out that Booker T blamed Graves for getting the boot from Raw, like, I guess I was kind of, I was pretty surprised.
Yeah, I was thinking more along the line, it was just something that it was time to do. You know, it wasn't working out with Booker T. You know, Coachman, if anything, is a solid professional voice. He takes direction. He'll take direction well. He's never been the type to have, you know, I think it's pretty well known Coachman did not grow up a wrestling fan, and then, you know, it was a job he took, you know, 15 years ago or more, it was just a broadcast job for him, and he's, you know,
it's a stepping stone to get elsewhere.
Yeah, and, you know, he's the type of guy who just, he'll take direction from Vince. He will absolutely, you know, mimic what Vince tells him in his headset. And that's what Vince wants, and we've come to understand that. I mean, in you know, when people talk about, you know, what, you know, how in what ways, you know, wrestling used to be better at the top of the list, you know, is commentary.
Yeah, there aren't a whole lot of people like that. That was one thing when that Raw 25 episode was on. Like, Michael Cole mentioning that he'd been on 20 of the 25 years, I was just like, holy shit, man. Like, I know that some of that was just as a backstage guy.
Right, not
at the announce desk, but it did kind of surprise me that it had been that long.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Cole has had he's at least had a lead job, a lead announcer, especially after they added SmackDown to the mix. But he also took over Raw for close to 6 months when Jermoss had his battle with Bill's palsy in the late 90s.
Oh.
And he was totally not ready for that. That was definitely not a Michael Cole who was... That Michael Cole was not ready for prime time in 98, 99.
Oh,
yeah. But then by, the end of 99, he was the voice of SmackDown. And stayed the voice of SmackDown until...
He became the voice of Raw.
Right, exactly, yeah. So, yeah, Michael Cole has been, he's been around a long time. Once again, another guy who, he can be a good announcer. When he's not being overproduced, he can be really good. But he's just been overproduced for so long. He's not the worst of the issues.
Oh, no. I honestly haven't thought about him one way. Because, I really used to dislike him. But I've kind of gotten to the point where it's like, oh, okay, he's just there.
I guess we've kind of been beaten down into submission about what WWE announcing is anymore. It's not the soundtrack.
Oh.
To the action that it was in our youth. It's just.
And I guess that was the point that I was going to get to with Cole too. I know that he'll get into the WWE Hall of Fame at some point, but man, just compared to those other announcers, I'm sorry. We're both agreeing, it's more of a tolerate or understand what they're asking him to do, and he delivers that.
Right, it absolutely is that. At best, they don't ruin the viewing experience. And there were times Booker T was ruining the viewing experience.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, it definitely wasn't an all-the-time thing, but it was enough of a time thing that, I mean, especially on a 3-hour program, he went off the rails at least a couple of times in an episode.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go much crazier than once every hour, honestly, although I feel like he did have some nights like that. But, there were other times where... I guess it's one of those interesting things that the promo ability is not the same as the announcer ability. Like, they both involve lots of talking, but they're different skills.
Yeah, they absolutely are. Booker T was a good promo, but this is the second time they've tried him out on announcing, and it worked out as badly as the first. But really get to the heart of the Booker T Corey Graves problems. If Booker T was taking offense every time Corey Graves cut him off, called him out for something he said wrong or whatnot, if Vince McMahon didn't like Corey Graves doing that, he would have stopped doing it after the first time. So who really?
I don't know how many times we pointed out on this show in general. If Vince McMahon did not approve of what was happening in any facet of the WWE, it would change. Whether it's Michael Cole just being blah, or even, and it's not like Vince has kind of gone through a decent chunk of announcers, I guess. you know, because I guess I'm thinking about Taz leaving and Coachman did leave and now is back.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the overproducing of announcers and the...
Oh, Mick Foley. It was one of the first guys to... Really, to me, I felt like he was one of the first guys to make mention of how much Vince yelled. Like, I guess it was kind of more rumor, but when you had confirmation like that.
Right, yeah, it's been a major issue over the last, 15 years or so that just, there's been a revolving, well, with the exception of Cole, really.
Yes.
There's been a revolving door of announcers. They bring JR back every once in a while. They still bring King back every once in a while. And Lawler was the only one who seemingly Lawler and JBL were, in many ways, Vince's, mouthpieces out there. Of course, they were looking to move Lawler out for years due to age reasons.
Oh.
JBL right. kind of suddenly left last year, trying to make it sound like, he was completely, his leaving was completely his own decision and not as a result of the Mauro Ranallo fallout, but I'm not sure about that one. But once again, JBL's another one.
But he's been back. Hasn't he been back to do some spot stuff?
Well, he did the APA reunion stuff at Raw 25. And but other than that, no, he really hasn't been back. He hasn't been gone all that long either.
Yeah.
He's another one who could go off on these tangents that just could ruin matches and ruin shows.
You'd hope
the veteran wrestler voices would be better than this. Because, as I said, I really do feel like that second voice, or I guess in this case, a third voice, needs to have that experience. And you don't get it from Corey Graves in his Indian NXT experience. You just don't get the credit. I like Corey Graves a lot. You just don't get the credibility.
Right, yeah. The only thing that... I think he always lends credibility more to the guys that were around when he was wrestling. So he... To me, I always feel like he talks with a little more authority about those people who are on the indies with him.
Yeah.
I think, to me, he does a better sales job for that, but... I mean, you're right. Like, he doesn't have any real experience, and I think he does a pretty good job of kind of staying out of that territory. You know, of not trying to kind of over push his experience.
Yeah, absolutely does. But to really get to the set, well, Booker T, saying that he's Corey Graves is the reason he's not on Raw anymore. Challenging him to a fight, saying that he sees him on the street, he'll whoop his ass. He did mention something about a WrestleMania, so that gives you a little bit of a, that maybe it's somewhat more tongue in cheek, but I don't think so, because there's nowhere for it to go.
Well, yeah, and that was the big thing that when Jeremy and I talked about it earlier today that I got hung up on, it's kind of like the Daniel Bryan Miz stuff. Like, it's so weird when something like that happens because that it can't go somewhere. Like, the guy's, legitimately has a serious neck issue. he can't be getting into that kind of a fracas.
Right. Right. We were talking about Graves. Graves absolutely can.
Graves, right, yeah.
I think Booker injured himself the last time he tried to do a spinneroonie, so it's definitely not something that could ever be resolved in the ring. So I'm definitely on the side of it's real. Booker T did not like the way Corey Graves spoke to him on commentary. He felt disrespected. Feels that Corey Graves manipulated to get him out of that spot. And Corey Graves in a tweet did not do anything to dispel that rumor with his quote from the, I believe the book is The Art of War, which
yes.
is one of those classic books I've never read.
Well, yeah, I can send you my copy if you want to.
Oh.
But it was pretty funny that he decided to quote some Sun Tzu there.
Okay, the exact quote.
Oh, okay.
Thus the expert in battle moves the enemy and is not moved by him. Sun Tzu, yes, this is what you think it is, in parentheses.
Well, and again, like, there's enough kind of winking in that to maybe make me think that it's all a work. But, you know, whatever. I guess to me, one way or the other, it's entertaining to me. Like, I like Graves better as an announcer, and if he got Booker T bumped, fine. But I'm just thinking that Vince wanted him out of there, and he got him out of there.
In the end, when, you know, once again, Coach has always been, you know, a Vince McMahon guy. He's always been, you know, someone Vince has liked. He is in that mold of, you know, what Vince likes in an announcer. You know, when the opportunity was going to arise when he needed work, you know, there was always going to be an option for him to come back.
Oh, right.
And they were able to make the deal. I don't think Corey Graves has any more.
Yeah.
I mean, he does a lot of shows, but in the end of the day, I don't believe he's worked that much in the hierarchy. Now, I know Cole, I believe, is legitimately the producer boss of the announcer crew now. I believe Cole does have, you know, that management. Because it's said that Cole is, you know, pretty much the executive manager in charge of, you know, TV talent.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, and that it would make sense. I mean, like we said, he has the tenure. He obviously knows what they're looking for, since he's exactly what they're looking for, at least in a play-by-play guy. So there are a lot of layers of people to blame before you lay that blame on Corey Graves that had to approve this to happen.
Right. And, you know, I'm pretty sure that they're going to be, you know, it's not that I don't think that in a fight Booker T wouldn't whip Corey Graves, but it's easy to say those things about meeting someone on the street who lives all the way across the country from you. And then adding the caveat, if I ever see him outside of a work situation, outside of a professional situation, when else are you two going to cross paths then?
Right. Yeah.
Now, if I hear that because Booker T's back on the pre-show kickoff panels, and him and Corey Graves got into it backstage at the Elimination Chamber, okay, then I guess I'll believe that Booker's, you know, that angry about it. But until then, you know, I think there's real bad feelings.
Right.
I think that there are two guys, and just in general, they're probably two guys who just different generations from different backgrounds. So there were times I'm not sure Booker T even believe that Corey Graves ever wrestled before.
No. I mean, it's possible. I don't know. I mean, yet to be in Booker T's head to figure that one out.
Right. But yeah, no. Bottom line is, though, there was horrible chemistry with that three-man. It was awful. The SmackDown crew with Corey Graves involved. Corey gets some good lines in every once in a while, but otherwise, it just kind of blends in with the Raw crew, with the things Booker T would say, and then the bickering that would ensue with Booker and Corey. yeah, it could lead to some pretty bad broadcasts. So I think the change had to be made. In the end, I don't think it was Corey Graves who was the worst offender. And Coach is at the very least a solid professional voice. He'll say what Vince wants him to say. He'll make the points that need to be made, and they'll move on.
And I think we should probably move on too. We have spent a lot of time talking about the announcers. I guess what was is the biggest news the fact that Elias Sampson technically Elias technically has a pinfall victory over Braun Strowman.
No, Don Cena.
He also beat Braun Strowman in the match since it was a three-way match.
Well, no, you said a pinfall win over Braun Strowman.
Oh, yeah, I shouldn't have said pinfall. Because it was against John Cena that happened.
Yeah. But no, it was interesting. I mean, it was definitely a big win for him, and definitely a feather in Elias' cap to get. Because you know that he's not just going to be the first guy eliminated in the Elimination Chamber.
Oh.
He's going on last, so the match is going on while he's going to be in that chamber, in his pod. So.
Yeah, and more than like, because I'm trying to think if they usually have all six people come out in that, or if someone's usually eliminated by the time the sixth person comes out. I'm not really sure.
No. They definitely do eliminations throughout.
Okay, well then, yeah, I guess I'm not surprised. I mean, Samson isn't going to win the match. So, but it is nice...
You're telling me it's not going to be Lesnar versus Elias at WrestleMania?
Maybe next year?
No. But no, he's definitely in a good spot here. It was a good win for him last night, as I said. Yeah, he's performed well. Of anyone who's come up from NXT, he's the one who's overachieved.
Definitely. Yeah, so, he was one of those guys that he really didn't get that much time in NXT, and everyone was surprised that he got called up. And the gimmick, it's kind of crazy because sometimes when they come up from NXT, it's the exact same gimmick, and I feel like he did things differently on Raw just from the jump that made it vibe a little bit better.
Yeah, it was definitely a different. If for some reason, it played better on Raw. It played better on the main roster than Adam Rose or. Another actor that didn't work out, Emma.
Oh,
the acts that were cult favorites and that were cult favorites and at Full Sail but died a death on the main roster. Yeah, Elias. I mean, I guess there's different things with the presentation. They got rid of the Drifter name.
Oh,
they decided that he would start most times. He would start with his guitar, sitting on a stool in the ring, tailoring his songs to the town and his opponents. Yeah, they definitely did different things with the presentation, and he's getting more opportunities to have bigger matches. Obviously, I mean, he was in the main event of Raw last night in a triple threat with John Cena and Braun Strowman that he won, so he's definitely rising to the occasion, and good for him.
I was just gonna say, I would think, I mean, he's kind of called out John Cena a bit recently, I would think that they could be opponents at WrestleMania, which is, I mean, that's a big deal. Like, getting John Cena as your opponent at WrestleMania, even at this stage of John Cena's career, is that's a good place to be in.
Yeah, absolutely. That absolutely could be where they're going. John Cena doesn't seem to have a direction for WrestleMania, although I don't know if, well, other than Styles and Nakamura, anyone really still has that clear WrestleMania path yet. Still a number of twists and turns in these stories to come. So especially, well, for the Raw side, you know, after we get past Elimination Chamber is when, you know, when we'll start getting some more answers. But yeah, no, John Cena in versus Elias is definitely a very viable possibility. Another big opportunity for Elias.
Yeah, and you know, I guess just being in the chamber match itself, as long as he doesn't get destroyed, it's certainly a match that you can get a little more time to perform in, just because there are multiple persons in the match. You know, sometimes a character gets to hang in there maybe a little bit more than they would in a singles match.
Right, but he's going to be in there with some pretty big names. I don't know if I foresee him outlasting Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, or John Cena in it though either.
Oh, right.
But he might hang on. He might hang on by the skin of his teeth. Final three. I mean, it's only six, so. I guess that's not all that impressive, but still, it's a good spot for him to be in. Yeah, like I said, he's not expected to win. He won't win, but it's an opportunity for him to continue to show what he can do and to grow. So good for him for getting it.
I don't know why I wanted to pivot to Jason Jordan and Seth Rollins. I guess it's another Raw act. It's kind of... I guess I'm enjoying finally what they're doing with Jordan, and it just continues to be entertaining, in my opinion.
Yeah, I've been enjoying it for a while, although news did come out today. Jordan did have what's been described as minimally invasive surgery on his neck. So him not wrestling for the last month has not done the trick.
As
a result of legitimate injuries. But once again, they've been able to keep him on TV and in a fairly, you know, non-physical role, although, you know, occasional physicality, you know, such as last night, but it's helped him grow the character of this, you know, disingenuous babyface character that he's got going.
It's kind of funny that his character is kind of turned into what Kurt Angle was when first came into the W. Like, I mean, it's definitely tweaked some, because it's not an all-American, you know, it's not about an all-American thing necessarily, or the three eyes, but, you know, a lot of that stuff's kind of embodied in what he's doing, which is fantastic.
So much of his facial expressions, his body language is really good. His verbiage and how he says things that just everything sounds so disingenuous, and it's like, but you know, Kurt Angle is just proud of his boy, so he doesn't see what everyone else sees. And it's been played really well. Hopefully, Jordan's not out of action for long, so they can, you know, keep this going and really take it somewhere, especially going into WrestleMania.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's another one that... it's kind of crazy that Seth Rollins is a guy who, at the current moment, is kind of hoping for something at WrestleMania because, yeah, his tag team partners keep getting injured.
Yeah, and I really hope they... As good as a lot of it has been with Seth and partners against the Bar, he's been wrestling them almost exclusively for the last 6 months. You know, I do think it is time to move on.
yeah, I love me some Seth Rollins. I love Cesaro. I love Sheamus. I can take a break from the three of them being in a competition for a while.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm absolutely good if the next if the next 6 months nothing happens between them.
Right. But yeah, no. I mean, Seth is Seth does not really have anything headed into WrestleMania. He's been doing this story with Jason Jordan for since about the end of 2017. It's certainly seem Ambrose is out of the picture as far as we know. Heading into WrestleMania, Roman Reigns obviously is going to be higher on the card, shall we say, in some capacity.
Right.
What does Seth end up doing? Does he face Jason Jordan one-on-one? Do they use this to kind of move Seth into a match with Kurt Angle at WrestleMania? Kurt Angle standing up for his son. Yeah, there's things they can do, but right now, it doesn't. That's a lot of people don't seem to have a clear path to their WrestleMania matchup.
No, I mean, this time of the year, there usually isn't much of a clear path unless it's a championship match. And I guess that being said, it would seem pretty strange to me if Nakamura and Styles was not a match at WrestleMania.
Yeah. SmackDown is really was trying to stretch out this whole thing with Styles and Owens and Zayn. Yet, just to be brutally honest, the Elimination Chamber has a purpose because Raw still needs to find their number one contender to Brock Lesnar, and there's drama involved in having Alexa Bliss defend the women's title before WrestleMania one time. But SmackDown really does have a show that really doesn't need to exist coming up.
Why?
Sorry,
I'm going
sorry.
To the show. Lie. I bought good tickets. How dare you say these things?
Those are coming out of my mouth. I'm sorry, Jeff.
Well,
I'm sure you'll have a great time.
You know one thing that I guess I'm excited about, or at least seems to be the trajectory of things. It had been advertised around here, and I think I talked about it on 441 there, that it was advertised as Zayn, Owens, Randy Orton, and I don't think it was Nakamura.
It was Nakamura
in a five-way match with AJ Styles. And they don't seem to be headed in that direction now. It would help freshen things up if they added someone to that three-way match. But they don't seem headed that way because Randy Orton's been picking on Bobby Roode.
Yeah, Randy Orton picked on Bobby Roode for no reason. I assume they'll flesh out the reasons there. I mean, that's a fine match to go with. I have no issues with that. But I mean, just the whole Styles, Zayn's, Owens thing. It just feels to me like they're really working to stretch that out just to get through one more pay-per-view.
It's kind of weird because even if they don't have the pay-per-view, and I think this is a topic that we've talked about, they just have a freaky long time until WrestleMania.
Yeah, the way they scheduled it is very off. It really doesn't, with it being like 6 weeks between Rumble and Fastlane, and then four weeks between Fastlane and WrestleMania. Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. I mean, because SmackDown then can't really start their hype for WrestleMania in full gear until
a month ahead of time.
March 13th episode of SmackDown. Really, I mean, it's just a. So yeah, but yeah, I was thinking that maybe they were going to do a deal where Owens laid down for Sami Zayn, because the whole thing is about how Sami Zayn has never gotten a shot at the big one before, and Owens always gets the shots.
I was going into that match assuming that they were going to do the no one's going to lose this match thing, and they like double DQ or something like that so that they both win.
Well, that's what happened.
And then that was what happened. I figured it was going to be a game plan of Zayn and Owens, and it didn't occur that way.
Yeah, no. There was no. They had a full match against each other where they were trying to beat each other, and now they have discontent with each other. Now they have reasons to fight each other. But I don't think that's what people really wanted to see. They spent years fighting each other. They've been a fun act as the true best friends. I don't really want to see this, this hard. And now it's a triple threat match, which means that, it's everyone for themselves. I was hoping that, once again, I said, Owens would lay down for Zayn, and then it would be a singles match. Styles and Zayn with Owens and Zayn's corner.
Yeah, and I thought that would be a pretty, fun way to just a singles match, because that's kind of thinking about that once they started wrestling the match, I'm like, oh, this would be kind of fun. This would definitely freshen up this angle if Zayn. Well, and I thought that maybe if Zayn just pulled off the win,
right,
would have been kind of nice, but that did not end up occurring either.
Just count me down as not a fan of it. It seems too similar to the match they just had. Granted, again, this one, it's everyone for themselves. Owen and Zayn fighting to only one, only one holding the title.
Right.
But it's just, I don't want to see them fight each other.
Yeah, it hasn't quite gone on as long as Seth Rollins taking on the Bar, but it has certainly lasted a long enough time that I would be okay moving on from it. But then, I mean, that is the other kind of odd thing about this season, is that when you kind of call your main event for WrestleMania pretty much right away, the title never seems in jeopardy.
Right. No, and that's the other thing. It doesn't. It's not in jeopardy. It's just not. Styles and Nakamura is going to be the match. It's not
Owens Nakamura, and it's not definitely not going to be Sami Zayn and Nakamura.
No.
Although they did have a fantastic match, so maybe I wouldn't really argue with that.
But not at WrestleMania for the title.
It's
not a spot for those. Just matches just don't pop at all. Like Styles and Nakamura, just pops. Just you just think That just sounds like a classic WrestleMania match. And, you know, it's a match people want. Fastlane is going to be a maintenance show. Hopefully it'll be a good one. Hopefully the action will be good for you. I'm not wishing a bad show for you. I would never do that. But
yeah.
it's definitely going to be a true B maintenance show.
Yeah, I could definitely see that happening. Because some of the stories going into it might be directing, and that's going to be kind of weird in some ways, some of the lower card matches rolling into WrestleMania. They might be able to work in, but the upper management portion of SmackDown is not going to have a true direction until after Fastlane, so...
Right.
Understood.
Right.
These things will happen. I know that kind of bounced us over to SmackDown. Any first impressions on the top 10 list?
I have no idea what the point of this is. And what it means, or... why are tag teams and women and the singles men, you know, all mixed into one top 10 list? And what does that all mean? How does Charlotte get above AJ Styles in these rankings? Does she have to beat him?
Well, wasn't there some type of locker room voting plus fan voting?
No, I think it was all locker room.
Oh, it was all
bullshit.
Oh. Well, then, yeah, that really did seem too obvious that it... See, now, I guess I thought that fans were involved because that would have made sense of the fan favorites all being picks. Like, there wasn't a heel that was ranked. I mean... I don't know. I mean, do you count Charlotte or the Usos? Like, they're the only ones that maybe have a little gray area to them.
Yeah, no. They're baby faces.
So.
And once again, you know, as was pointed out, the New Day going over the Usos. Wait, huh? When was the last time the New Day even won a tag match?
Oh,
you know, it's something that's just I don't understand I don't understand the purpose of it. I don't get what it means. It's seems something like something that's going to go by the wayside pretty soon. Unless they find a way to make it relevant to everything else going on.
Yeah, it really didn't make much of an impression this week. It was just like an announcement. It's like, okay, we can move on from here. You know, it's good to know, I guess. And I mean, it's one of those things that I guess I wouldn't change my vote that much week to week. Like, if I was someone in the locker room, I'd be like, do I have to do this again? Like, this week? It's like doing subjective rankings in any sport. Oh... This is the number one power team in football right now. Who cares? There's a reason we have a tournament at the end of the year to determine a champion. Why don't we let that happen? And there's no tournament at the end of this rainbow. At the end of these fake power rankings. So
No. It's stupid.
Yeah. I guess I felt like it was going to have more purpose to it than that. But
yeah,
we'll see.
I wasn't sure what it was going to be, but... You know, you can't create all these divisions and then have everyone put into one top 10 ranking, and then... The only place where rankings make sense is your ranking contenders.
Oh. Yeah, I would love that far more than a top 10, I don't know, most popular people on the SmackDown Live brand.
Yeah.
You know, I would welcome even just a top 5 system for any of the tag belts, because, or any of the tag belts, and that kind of tells you where my head was going anyway.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of interesting to me, and maybe it's just because it's going to be a multi-team match, that they seem to be pushing the Bludgeon Brothers and Benjamin and Gable at the same time. With
they
the Usos.
They seem to be trying to rebuild Benjamin and Gable after the Rumble loss, but I don't know if that's... I don't know if that's Fastlane, because twice now they've had the Usos and the Legend Brothers just cross paths. I'm thinking that the match at Fastlane is going to be this, just those two teams. Maybe they'll do a multiple team thing at WrestleMania. You know, they always like to throw a big ladder match in at WrestleMania or something, because God knows the Usos need to get on that damn main card. I might hashtag boycott WrestleMania if they don't.
Oh man. Yeah, they've been entirely too good to not get on the main card this year.
Right, so I'm thinking that the SmackDown tag titles will have like a multiple team thing at WrestleMania, maybe, you know, possibly a ladder match, just something to get everyone on the show, get the Usos on the show, get the New Day on the show, you know, Benjamin and Gable and Roger Brothers, maybe the other teams.
Yeah, hey, why not?
Yeah.
Breezango and the Ascension don't have anything else to do that night.
Yeah, I wouldn't even want them in a match like that. Just let them get tossed out of the battle royal quickly. They just... They're just useless at this point.
They unfortunately, they hit on something really fun. But it was really hard to... It was hard to continue for a long time period.
They're struggling to follow up on, you know, Breezango themselves and their comedy while having it, you know, follow up on it with something meaningful in the ring.
Oh.
So, you know, it's even worse for the sidekicks that just aren't good wrestlers.
Who was that tonight? Is it, Victor's the smaller of the two, isn't he?
I believe so.
And I feel like I've heard some people compliment him being a good wrestler. Like, I was a little shocked at how much offense they gave him tonight. I was just like, oh. I was like, this is a little surprising. Like, he seemed pretty fluid for... Like, I guess I always think of them as big men, and I didn't think that he had that kind of quickness in him. I'm not ready to throw him in a Hall of Fame or anything, but I was a little surprised by the happenings. But yeah, I would be fine leaving them out of a theoretical ladder match at WrestleMania for the SmackDown Live tag team titles.
Right.
Anything else? I mean, we kind of bounced through a bunch of SmackDown. Is there anything else to cover on that brand before going back
SmackDown,
to
SmackDown? I don't think so. I think we can bounce back to Raw to
wrap the show up.
Yeah, some quick hits on, I guess we can talk about the Raw Women's Division.
Well, yeah, because, Charlotte, I'm trying to think of what Charlotte was doing over on SmackDown there.
Charlotte?
Oh, she beat Liv Morgan.
She beat Liv Morgan. She wants to run through the entire Riot Squad, which, you know, she'll... she would face, you know, next week she would face Sarah Logan, and then...
And then Ruby, you know, Riot.
Maybe they'd save Ruby Riot for the fast lane, at, you know, for a title match. Yeah, you know, so some basic stuff. Once again, the women's division stuff is... Until it's decided where Ronda Rousey's going to be and what she's going to be doing at WrestleMania, the women's division stuff at both, and both, you know, on both shows, as far as WrestleMania is concerned, it's in
in limbo.
Limbo. Yes, thank you. The women's division stuff is kind of in limbo, you know, until that's decided. I'm moving myself toward. I could see both the. I mean, to get to, you know, Asuka versus Rousey, you have to do some maneuvering to get the title on Rousey to make that work. But you know, you could do that as a surprise entrant in the Elimination Chamber or something, or things along those lines. But I'm thinking more. I'm also thinking around the lines of doing the Charlotte match. You know, in the end of the day, Charlotte is more the type that Vince McMahon and WWE would want to present to the world as, you know, what the top woman wrestler, you know, should be for in their eyes. Not that they don't have plans for Asuka, I'm sure, but Charlotte's more of the dream match.
And she's just been on the roster, main roster, longer, which I think helps.
Absolutely, she's Ric Flair's daughter. You promote that angle, and the fact that Raw is already going to get Brock Lesnar. Obviously, it looks like John Cena's staying on Raw through WrestleMania. Whatever Triple H ends up doing will be play out on Raw. Can SmackDown get something as far as star power going?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like, Jeremy was completely jazzed about the Nakamura Styles, but that's more of a wrestling fan dream and not as much a star power dream.
Right. It absolutely is. It's, you know, of course, it's a great match. I can't wait for it, but yeah. SmackDown, and you know, these SmackDowns heading into WrestleMania, and just SmackDown gets the short of the stick so much. It would be nice for SmackDown to get the to get something at least, you know, and this would be a pretty big something.
Well, yeah, and you kind of started to go this way when I zagged back to SmackDown real quick, but the Raw Women's title. I was pretty shocked when Kurt Angle mentioned, what was it, the last time Alexa Bliss defended the belt was November?
December.
October.
TLC in October was last. Well, no, I think she defended the title one more time after that. It might be early November. Who knows? It's like, I remember they did Alexa and Mickey Bliss, Mickey James at the pay per view in October, and then they did a rematch them on Raw, you know, a week or two later. So, yeah, so it might be early November, but yeah, no, she has not defended the title on TV in nearly 3 months.
Yeah, I was just like, oh my gosh, like I can't believe that it's been that long.
Yeah, because they did Survivor Series, and then.
It did kind of happen. Charlotte didn't defend the belt much because both of the two three-woman groups came in.
And Charlotte defended, you know, she defended against Natalia, you know, a couple of times.
Oh, that's right, she did.
Well, Raw didn't have a pay-per-view in December. Raw went over 2 months without being on pay-per-view, and they just didn't have a TV challenger ready for Alexa Bliss because she'd already beaten, you know, Sasha and Bailey and Mickey over and over again. So, but yeah, I did like how she answered him. Her, I don't make the matches around here. You do. That's not my fault.
Yeah, she, like, I really liked the whole that she was exploiting as far as the Elimination Chamber not being for the title for the men, but it being for the title for the yep. women. I thought that that was a really clever angle to...
Exposing Brock Lesnar's white male privilege.
Oh, man. Oh, God. Okay.
Kurt Angle just did not think on his feet to say, hey, we treat Brock different from everyone.
Yeah.
But no, it was really good. It was a good way for Alexa Bliss to try to sneak weasel her way out of the match. And, she did well. And then when that didn't work, she decided to try to get her old... her old alliance with Mickie James back going, so that she has a friend in the match. Once again, it's fun little stuff that they're doing with her. And I think the Raw women's stuff is pretty on point now. Tension between Sasha and Bayley now that they both failed to beat Asuka and they both the Elimination Chamber, so they can win the title and be the one to end her undefeated streak. Yeah, Asuka and Nia Jax. It's a good match to do. I mean, it doesn't really make much. How Kurt explained it doesn't really make much sense. Since, as pointed out on SmackDown tonight, Asuka still hasn't even made her choice yet.
Oh, yeah, and it's kind of strange. Like, I guess Nia Jax hasn't, in a lot of ways, legitimately lost a match. Like, they always have her slip on the proverbial banana peel, in my opinion.
Right, yeah, no.
And that's what costs her.
She doesn't really lose much. She's in multiple person matches, not taking the fall, or at WrestleMania, it's taking all three other girls in the match to pin her to get her eliminated. The dog pile on top of her.
Right.
They definitely protect Nia Jax. It's good to have that going into this match with Asuka in some degree of jeopardy. I mean, I don't think after all of this, Asuka's going to lose. But then again, last year, Charlotte had her 20-plus pay-per-view undefeated streak ended at Fastlane, of all places, just a month before WrestleMania, which made absolutely no sense.
Yeah,
I'd hate to say it, but I wouldn't put it past them totally not to have Nia Jax win this match. But I'm obviously Asuka's still the very, very heavy favorite.
Yeah, I guess I'll be interested to see if they allow Asuka to straight beat her and not have Nia Jax slip on a banana peel to gain the victory, which is probably part of the reason I brought that up. Like, because Asuka's one of those few people I'm like, damn, is she actually just straight gonna beat her? Because it really hasn't happened, in my opinion. Like, if Asuka does that, it would be a first, really.
Right.
So yeah, there's a lot of and I'm kind of taken for granted that Asuka's winning that match.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason not to. I mean, I'm saying there's a small chance that Nia Jax could win the match, but no, I mean, it is a very small chance, and more, I wouldn't put any money on Nia Jax to win this match.
Oh man. And I'm trying to think then if there's anything else with the ladies on Raw, but I don't think there is. And we have not watched the Mixed Match Challenge, so That is square out of the conversation for this evening.
Yeah, that was going on while we were recording. I might try to check it down here.
You know, I've got to admit, this week's one, the video packages have not been as forthcoming, as far as I can tell, as they have been the last couple of matches. Because Big E, slash New Day, with Carmella was hilarious. And both the Ginger Snaps and Team Little Big had some very entertaining stuff. And
This they haven't really done much with this. I mean, obviously there was a substitution involved with Rose Gold, Team Rose Gold.
Yeah, I like the group. Not quite as entertaining as the previous couple of rounds.
Yeah, not as entertaining, definitely. You know, this one certainly lacking in some star power, which is why I believe the decision was made yesterday that they were starting a fan poll to see if Kurt Angle or Daniel Bryan would be the special guest referee for the match so that they could put one of them on the show.
I did not know this.
Yeah. I didn't either until a few hours ago, so I must not have been looking in the right places. it's a slower week for Mixed Match Challenge this week.
So, I guess, does that wrap it up? Anything, there isn't anything. Like, I guess I thought about the Balor Club, but nothing's really going for them right now.
I mean, I guess we could keep on a little on something. Have you watched any of the Being the Elite stuff that where they announced the Cody versus Kenny Omega for ROH Supercard of Honor at WrestleMania weekend?
No, I did not.
Well, it was pretty entertaining. I'll say that. You know, it's for anyone, if you or anyone else out there, search Being the Elite on YouTube and watch the last two episodes. It really covers the whole, you know, dissension in the Bullet Club and post Kenny and Cody, you know, coming to physicality, you know, it pretty well. It did a good job with it. It's definitely a big match for ROH that weekend.
It is unfortunate because Jeremy and I were talking about it. Although I did not get a hotel room until Saturday evening anyway, down there in New Orleans. But there is no way. We already had tickets to NXT, so there's no way I can go to the show since it's on Saturday night.
Right. I feel like they made a mistake going against NXT, but there are so many wrestling fans down in New Orleans, hardcore fans down in New Orleans. They're running a 5,000 to 6,000 seat building, and if they can sell that thing out while also going against NXT, I mean, that's awesome. Good for them.
And I would imagine that there will be enough people there for that to happen.
Yeah.
Is that actually, do you know if that's actually in New Orleans somewhere?
Yeah, I believe it. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's New Orleans. They're using the other, well, obviously not the
Smoothie King.
The wonderfully named Smoothie Scene Center, but they're using, what's it called? Let me look.
Okay. Yeah, well, I was just wondering if it was actually going to be. Just because New Orleans, I love the food down there. The one thing I loved about that is everything is walkable. Like, that city is not that large. So everything is within a relatively small area. And, I guess I know that it does stretch out more than more than that, but or a little bit more than what we walk to.
Right. Yeah. It's I think it's definitely on the other side of the town from the stadium and from the arena. It's the UNO Lakefront Arena.
Okay. Well, yeah, because that was the one thing we did like when we went to Dallas, you had to have a vehicle. Like, you didn't really have much of a choice. New Orleans is kind of nice. You can have them drop you off from the airport, and you're gold after that.
Right. Yeah.
So that would require Uber, I suppose, which would probably happen. But whatever, they're going against NXT. I'm good with my NXT tickets, and hopefully I'll see. I'd imagine I'll be seeing some Johnny Wrestling versus Tommaso Ciampa, which should be a quality matchup.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely a lot of quality wrestling that weekend. No matter which shows you choose to attend. So it's a good thing about WrestleMania weekend.
Okie dokie. Welp, I'm at DeFrango11. He's at Chris Calamita. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you may listen to us. And have a good night.
Later.